Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Sometimes it takes unlikely alliances to make the world a better place. Our guest, Amory Lovins, has pioneered the use and creation of alternative resources, including energy. While he's been telling the world about clean cars and energy sources that do not rely on fossil fuels, Mr. Lovins has also been talking with a group not usually associated with the environmental movement, the American military. Mr. Lovins is convinced that real security and environmental issues are deeply connected. This is not a new subject prompted by recent events, Mr. Lovins says. The military is paying attention to environmental issues around energy and...
have been for 20-odd years, and the people with whom I started exploring these ideas a long time ago now have several stars on their shoulders and can do something about it. So we're seeing, as part of the revolution in military affairs, a very interesting progression toward rethinking how can we be safe and feel safe in ways that will work better and cost less than present arrangements. Because, you know, we have the finest military in the world. We're spending $11,000 a second on weapons and warriors, but that's not really making us safe. What more or different do we need to do?
Amory Lovins is co-founder and CEO of Rocky Mountain Institute. He's also chairman of the board of Hypercar, Inc., an ultralight hybrid automobile. Mr. Lovins has an international reputation as a pioneer in the use and production of alternative energy sources. His publications include Natural Capitalism, which he co-authored with Paul Hawken and Hunter Lovins. Mr. Lovins has worked in both the public and private sectors, promoting more effective uses of all natural resources and innovations in resource generation and conservation. In recognition of his ongoing important contributions, he has been given many major awards around the world. Bill Russell and I sat down with Amory Lovins at Rocky Mountain Institute in Snowmass, Colorado. Amory Lovins, I think most of us are accustomed to the idea of half empty or half full, but I don't think most of us are accustomed to the idea of half empty, half full when it comes to life as we know it on this planet. You have chosen the half full route. And in a world where people who are thought of as environmentalists kind of wear the blue meanie garb a lot, doesn't it make life better for you, as well as your answers perhaps more creative, that you're on the half-full side of this equation?
Well, my mentor Dave Brower once said that optimism and pessimism are different forms of the same error, namely treating the future as fate rather than choice, because it means you're abdicating responsibility for how you want things to turn out and how you try to help them turn out. Temperamentally, I'm inclined to pay attention to the good things that are going on and help them happen better and faster. And although, as I'm often reminded by some riff somebody gives after a speech, there is a lot of bad stuff happening and there's much suffering in the universe, all that's true, it's not a very constructive frame of mind to be in. So usually when somebody gives remarks like that, the only way I found to deal with it is to let them run down after a while and then ask them as gently as I can whether feeling that way makes them more effective.
And the answer, of course, is no.
Typically no. But people can really get excited about the good things that are happening and that they can support and do themselves. And you know, there's nothing we know of in the world or in the universe as powerful as 6 billion minds wrapping around a problem. And as our emerging global nervous system brings more people into the conversation, particularly women and the poor who didn't have much voice before, we're starting to get a whole lot more good ideas and good practices spreading very rapidly. You know, as Giff and Liva Pinchot put it, brains are evenly distributed, one per person.
If and only if you use it.
Yeah.
Less than or equal to one per person.
The notion that we can address what are fairly daunting challenges that have been accruing for maybe 5,000 years and certainly 200 years, and then a buildup of things that we haven't dealt with. One of the many wonderful things that you say in Natural Capitalism is that the most important part of getting to a new idea is to stop having an old idea or a bad idea.
Yeah, that's from my old mentor, Edwin Land, who invented Polaroid photography. And he also said invention is just a sudden cessation of stupidity.
I love that one.
And he said a mistake is simply an event not yet fully turned to your advantage.
Yeah. Well, and doesn't that really set kind of good predicates for how you go forward, looking at energy and business and government and social problems, all these things that you address eloquently in natural capitalism?
Well, typically the problems that seem so daunting when you look at them sort of inside out and upside down turn out to be problems we don't need to have, and it's cheaper not to. So in a tripolar world of government, business, and civil society, how do you use the latent and emerging potential of each of those, often in concert with another one, to make up for the deficiencies in still a third one? So you have more ways to make things happen. And it speaks to the motives of each of those groups. Governments can be successful and get reelected. Business can have more profit at less risk. Civil society can have better lives for kids and communities. I think all this makes sense and makes money. So what are we waiting for?
We're with Amory Lovins. We're not waiting for much except a quick break. We'll be back in a moment with the Paula Gordon Show. We are in the Great Rocky Mountains at the Rocky Mountain Institute. Please be with us when we return.